As you know, government plans to replace the Waterford Hospital with a new mental health and addictions facility at the Health Sciences Center complex. At a cost of some $200 million, the extension will be 15,000 square meters. We'll see the addition of 94 additional beds specifically for adults dealing with mental health issues. The new hospital is still years away. In the meantime, many people suffering from mental illness find themselves in the Waterford Hospital. I took a call on VOCM Open Line yesterday from a woman who described a rather harrowing experience that her sister had over the weekend. Here's part of that call.
I actually spent the weekend in the Waterford with a family member of mine on West 3A. She asked me to stay with her more because she was frightened to death than anything else. This unit is not a holistic healthcare setting. It is a jail. I'm going to start back on Friday when they moved as many people as possible to the Health Science Center, leaving a few empty beds over here, putting the Health Science Center in overcapacity. I work for Eastern Health. I'm actually the administrative assistant to Dr. Neil Jung. He is the clinical chief of mental health and addictions. I sit in a nice cozy office down on the first floor, having no idea what goes on 2 to 3 floors above my head every week. The nursing station is short-staffed, as I'm sure you're aware of. But on top of that, we have people that get brought in here over the weekend whose rights are denied them. On Fridays, they take the patient phone off the wall so nobody can make outbound calls. Patient cell phones are confiscated and locked up in a secure place. Incoming calls for patients are screened, so she was not allowed to make outgoing calls and she was not allowed to have incoming calls. Now, this is a woman who, has never had a mental health episode in her life. She went straight up to one step down from forensics.
Thank you.
On this unit this weekend, we had pipes that ruptured. All the female bathrooms were shut down. There was urine and feces all over the floors. You know who was cleaning it up? The nurses. I had no idea that the people were suffering like this. We had 2 to 3 senior ladies who were admitted, and they did nothing all weekend except sit on a bed and cry. I watched a patient urinate into a garbage bucket because the female bathrooms were shut down, and this woman had nowhere else to go. They told her to use a garbage bucket, Patty.
Well, that was an excerpt from yesterday's VOCM Open Line. For a reaction to that call, I'm joined by Paula Corcoran. She's the Executive Director of Channel, which is the Consumers Health Awareness Network of Newfoundland and Labrador. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Patty.
So that's obviously very troubling. What are your thoughts when you hear that call?
It's indeed troubling, Patty, and sadly to say it's not uncommon. Because of the organization's unique position that we are in, we hear those stories quite often about people having very surprising experiences within the Waterford Hospital, but also the psychiatric unit in the Health Science.
We've been trying to talk about this openly and honestly, hoping to erode some stigma, but when you hear stories like that, someone who's been considering, teetering on coming forward to get some help, this doesn't help.
And that's honestly not to disregard any of the negative stories, because absolutely people need to voice these stories. People need to bring attention to some of the situations that are happening. But I'm always a little bit hesitant and cognizant, I guess. At the end of the day, it is horrific sometimes, absolutely. But there's also some great things happening there. I, for one, openly and honestly say I would not be alive today if it weren't for the Waterford Hospital and the staff at the Waterford Hospital. And when we share stories like this, and please don't get me wrong, that these stories need to be heard, but we do also have to recognize that these sometimes are one-offs. We run the risk that people who need help will now not seek help, because unfortunately the only alternative is the Waterford. That is all we have right now.
Are these horrible stories commonplace, or as you referred to them a second ago, maybe one-offs?
It's a hard one to say, because again, we're very skewed. We are biased because we hear a lot of the negative stories and we don't hear the positive stories. So for example, this is one story, and I honor the woman that shared the story. I have no doubt that everything she shares is accurate. But this is one story out of how many people, you know, how many people were attended or admitted to or attended the Waterford over the last few months, we'll say.
We know that the government plans on replacing the Waterford with a new facility on the Health Sciences Center complex, but that's not going to help anybody today. What needs to change today so that these stories, whether they be common or not, so that they aren't available to be told? What has to change?
I think sharing our stories is valuable. Being mindful of how we do that, using media as a tool, absolutely, but also using our government and our government officials as a tool, contacting them directly with our stories, reaching out to organizations such as Channel, such as the Pottle Center, to advocate and to talk about these stories openly and honestly, and really just looking at how do we promote the other services within the community. So, for example, Channel has a warm line that is open across the province, and regular, I don't know the stats right now, but at one point, at least 50% of our calls were coming in from the crisis line. And what was happening, whereas people typically would go to the Waterford Hospital, because they were able to engage with us on a peer-to-peer level, we actually were able to work through their crisis with them, and they didn't need that service. So being aware of what's in the community and reaching out to those services before things get to the point that we have to utilize emergency services is really what we need to be doing.
I'm not sure how to couch this. It's easy to tell the sad or the bad or the horrific tale like that. How do we tell good news stories in mental health?
I would challenge you to say it's not easy to tell those stories. Those stories are hard stories to tell.
But they're the easiest ones that you know will resonate with people. They
absolutely
grab the attention. They find themselves in the headlines versus the good news stories.
Absolutely. And being very respectful to media, and yourself included, Patty, we need to challenge media to pick up the good news stories. I myself have talked openly and honestly about my good news stories. Absolutely doesn't mean it was a picnic. I was unwell for 7 years before I became well enough to return to the workforce. We need to challenge media to pick up those stories. We need to challenge social media and the public to talk about the good things that happen when mental illness and addictions are involved, to talk about changing our language, about how it's not those violent people, it's actually somebody who's having a reaction. So we do have a lot of work to do challenging our communities, ourselves in the stigma. Nobody wants to go to the Waterford. Why? Because it's the mental asylum, right? So looking at how do we change those beliefs, and individuals like myself, individuals like Sarah Furlong, who's part of Women for Rock, who's been very vocal lately around her story, sharing the good news stories. That's really what we need to do.
Well, on behalf of everyone sitting here in this building, we're going to step up and try to continue to meet that challenge that you put forward, because it's a critical component as we talk honestly and openly about mental illness and mental health. Good to see you, Paula. Thanks for making time.
Thanks, Patty. You take care.
That's Paula Corcoran. She's the Executive Director at Channel, which is the Consumers Health Awareness Network of Newfoundland and Labrador.